Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. If you're visiting here this morning with us, we've been going through a series on Sunday mornings talking about how people got to certain spots in the Bible. We start off with the book of Elijah, and after some discouragement, Elijah ran out into the wilderness, was sitting underneath a tree, asking to be put to death, asking God, just go ahead. God said, telling God, go ahead and take me. And God comes to him and says, what doest thou here? And it's the idea that he's God saying to Elijah, what in the world are you doing here? He says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. And God encourages him, and God gives him the rest he needs, and he gives him the physical things he needs, and he gives him a partner and gives him a job to do. We all have something that God desires for us to do. And then we looked at some other ones throughout the times. We looked at Daniel and the perspective about Daniel getting in that lion's den, and how sometimes the world will look at people that are going through struggles and hardships and hard times, and they give questions like, Daniel, what are you doing in a lion's den? But not just the unsaved, but sometimes even Christian people will look at it and say, I wonder why someone has to go through such struggles and such hardships, especially someone like Daniel who served God and who's away from that foreign land and been faithful to God all those years. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at that on our teen service night. On that morning, we talked about how the children of Israel asking their parents, what are we doing in the wandering in the wilderness? And how because they didn't have the faith to take the courage to go into the promised land, they were spent 40 years stuck in the wilderness. Last week, we looked at the story about Joseph and how Joseph kept his focus on God and how Joseph was blessed of God. And we talked about how sometimes people look at those people that have been blessed and used of God, and you're like, how did they get there? And we looked at some different things to show you how Joseph ended up being on that throne, and it was all about God. It wasn't about Joseph. And remember how Jacob on his deathbed had gathered up his, right before he gathered up his feet and died, he told Joseph, remember, everything that's mighty comes from God. Everything good about you came from God. He was your shepherd and he was your stone. And this morning we're going to look at another famous Bible character by the name of David. And I know that David is at a spot in his life where he has hit rock bottom. And how did he get there? This morning's title, this morning's message is, How Did I Get Here? And when we began the series 5 or 6 weeks ago, we gave you a challenge to consider where you're at spiritually, consider at where you're at physically, consider where you're at in your life today. Is it where God wants you? Or are you on the plan that God has for your life? And I think some of us have to look at different times in our lives and said, how in the world did I get here? This is not where I expected it to be. Like Joseph, probably did not expect to be on that throne of Egypt, but he saw God moving and working throughout his entire life, and he understood, he kept his faith and focus on God. David has lost his focus here. We're going to look a little bit about that, and he ends up being in a spot that where, I don't know if he could be in a worse spot, and he is in a desperate spot at Ziklag, and he encourages himself in God. So, this morning's message is going to be simple. It says, how did I get here? The first point is how David got there. The second point is how to get out of there. And but let's look and read here in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Let's start in verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Give a little commentary on the verse. David is now living in the land of the Philistines. He's in a spot called Ziklag. And inside this story, David had gone to be willing to fight with the Philistines. He was rejected. Him and his men return home 3 days later. And what he finds 3 days later is that the city that he was at and the 600 men that were with him and their families and all their possessions were burned. I guess imagine that. You're walking across the hill, you're coming back after a long journey, and you're expecting to see your wife, expecting to see your family, expecting to be able to rest in the houses and the homes that you have, and the whole city's gone. First of all, consider how overwhelming that would be. But then the ramifications start setting in. Verse number 2, what happened to our wives? What happened to our children? Verse number 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any. Of course, they did not know this time, except with the exception of the fact that there was no dead bodies there. And they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. So pretty much everything's gone. their possessions are gone. More importantly, their wives and their children are gone. It says, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Verse number 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept. Now, we're not just talking about, you know, just 600 people. We're talking about 600 trained warriors. Over 30 of them were considered David's mighty men. These are people who have fought with David and stood side by side with David, probably very strong, athletic men. And you can just imagine and picture what they're going through. They lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Obviously, that's normal. But if you consider David's life up to this point, he had always put his faith and trust in God, whether standing before a lion, standing before a bear, standing before Goliath, being chased by Saul. It doesn't say he was distressed, but here it says he's distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. Now, David was a leader. He was the leader of this group. And it says that they were speaking of stoning him because of what he's done. It says, because the soul of all the people were grieved. He was dealing with a group of people that was overwhelmed by the circumstances. They are grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But look what the Bible says here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And we're going to look at that in a little while. That's an important part. We all face times in our life when it's hard, and times in our life when things, because of our own circumstances and our own sin, has brought circumstances that are out of our control, and we're overwhelmed. But what do we do with the reaction? David here, he encourages himself at the Lord. Verse number 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod of David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, without fail recover all. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts today. I pray you clear our hearts and our minds of things that would distract us from the word and from the preaching. And Lord, that each person here takes an interest in what's being said, and that they would apply it to their hearts and lives in whatever way that the Holy Spirit of God sees applicable. And Lord, we desire that you speak to us today. And Lord, that you speak through me, and God, that you make a difference in someone's life. Lord, many of us have been in this spot where we have no idea what to do. But God, you give us an example here of a man that you said was a man after your own heart. You teach us something, truth that's needed. Lord, I'm depending on you today. And Lord, I'm asking you to work through me to help these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, so we've looked at all these different places, and we had people in lions' dens. We've looked at people on the kings, on the thrones. We've looked at people wandering around the desert. But to me, this makes the most personal. I'm not saying that everything that happens bad is always because of sin. We looked at that last week. We talked about that with Joseph, where Joseph and Daniel both, we don't see any spot where there was some type of great sin in their life, but God still put them in certain circumstances. Daniel in a lion's den to teach us one picture. Joseph on the throne of Egypt to teach us another picture. David, a man that is called by the Bible a man after God's own heart, is here, and he's sitting in Ziklag. And as he's sitting in Ziklag, he is down in Ziklag, and he is stuck. And you can imagine him sitting here, and you can imagine him sitting in a spot, and he's overwhelmed. He's lost his family. He's lost his possessions. And then these 600 mighty men, well, I know they call 30-some of them mighty men, but these 600 warriors, they're talking about stoning him. No clue what he's going to do. I can imagine if I was there, I would be asking the question, how in the world did I get here? I mean, I've served you, God. I've done all these things for you. And think about some of the things that happened with David. David was blessed by God because he killed the lion. He killed the bear while watching the sheep. He was the guy that got a chance to play the harp in front of Saul. And then he even fought Goliath. They killed Goliath. Nobody else thought was going to be willing to kill. He went and they sang praises about him. He became a mighty general in Israel's army. You think about all the things he did. He got to marry the king's daughter. He was anointed as a young boy or probably a young teenager to be king over Israel. I mean, all these different things had happened in his past. He was on the run from Saul and God spared his life. Twice did God give the opportunity to kill Saul and he chose not to touch God's anointed. More than once, Saul tried to kill him with a javelin or a spear and God miraculously allowed him to escape. All these things, God has been with him, God has helped him, and he is sitting here and he's at Ziklag, he is overwhelmed, and he's like, what can I do? And what am I supposed to do? And see, I think some of us get to that spot. We're overwhelmed because of the circumstances that have been brought into our lives. We're not like Joseph because we've stayed focused on God and we believed in God and we've trusted God all along. And Joseph and Daniel both had peace. We saw that their hearts were focused. And Joseph inside that prison was willing to serve, was willing to be cheerful to those other prisoners. Daniel was telling the king, you know, don't worry about me. You know, Daniel had focus. This is a different one. David had done something wrong in his heart and in his life that brought these circumstances upon himself. And now he's overwhelmed because of the sin that's happened in his life. Now he has lost his family. He has lost his possessions. He has lost his city. And now his guys that are the most faithful, they're talking about stoning him. You ever been overwhelmed because of the fact you haven't done what you were supposed to do? And I think sometimes what the important part of the message is today, number one, is how did he get here? Because if we can learn how he got here, we can stay away from here. Because sitting here is not a fun spot. Sitting here is where this belief will get you. Sitting here is where sin will take you. Sitting here is a place where God is going to have to bring correction and understanding. Remember, David was the anointed king of Israel. He was supposed to be next king. God had promised him that. But how did he end up here sitting in Ziklag? And that's sometimes I think what we need to think about is how did we get where we're at today? Because many times in our Christian lives, we hear the stories of a David and a Daniel and a Joseph, and we're like, man, it'd be great to be used by God that way. But most of us are probably understand more and relate more to Elijah and when he was discouraged because he didn't get to do what he thought God was going to do. Or we're more like the children of Israel walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, not really understanding why they're there and never getting a clue because of the disobedience. And we're not living a victorious Christian life. Instead, we're living a life that is lackluster. David ends up there because of the decision he made. One decision. Take your Bible to back in 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27, and look in just one verse, verse number 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse number 1, David makes a choice. They both have D and they both have A at the beginning, so they both have I as the fourth letter, so I'm sorry if I mixed them up. But David makes a choice here. David has been supernaturally delivered by the God at more than one occasion. Even in chapter 26, he has the opportunity to kill Saul and, you know, begin his reign. He chooses not to. It's like a spiritual victory. But verse 27, he becomes discouraged. Look what it says. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Now God has just delivered him, chapter number 26, in a miraculous way. He has a great victory, is at a high point, but in chapter 27, there is a discouragement there. He makes this phrase, he says, there is nothing better for me. I want us to understand that we're all on this journey. God leads us step by step. If you think about David's life and the step by step of David's life of being anointed to be king, to protecting the lion from the sheep from the lion, from the bear, then going and playing in the king's palace, then to fight Goliath, and then to be praised, and then even to learn of the how a kingdom was going to be run. Step by step by step by step, God is leading him, God is directing him, even miraculously saving him on more than one occasion with Saul and his army that's chasing after him, trying to kill him. And he comes to this point of not remembering what God had done. Instead, he begins talking to himself. He begins reasoning with himself. He begins reasoning in his own heart. And he comes to this conclusion, there is nothing better for me. He says, there is nothing better for me. And remember, life is a matter of choices. God wants us to make the best choices, but sometimes we make wrong choices, and he makes the wrong choice here. He decides to change teams. He says, no longer do I want to be associated with Israel. No longer, you know, Saul someday is going to catch me. This is not the life that I want to live. This is not the life. I'm going to change teams. Instead of being for Israel and with Israel, I'm going to come over to the Philistines. He made an unwise choice. And because of that unwise choice, he ends up down there in Ziklag. Christian, I want you to understand that we will have low points in our lives. But what we do with those low points will decide whether we will rise above them or go to a lower point. The sadness that you see in Ziklag of him weeping for his family and weeping for the 600 families that were there and the responsibilities and his possessions, all that being gone, it was a much greater low point than this. It's because how he decided to respond. Here, he made some bad decisions. So how did he get here? Here, three things I'd like you to think about it. First thing I want you to think how he got there and made this decision was prayerlessness. He didn't pray. You read this story, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He made this decision on his own. I'm going to perish someday. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me. He's saying, look, Saul will not look for me there. He does not pray. One thing, you look at this passage of scripture, read verse number one, nowhere in there do you see him talking about God, talking to God, thinking on God, thinking about God. He is speaking with himself, and he's speaking with his heart. And that's why the Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things, because it is important to get this truth. And this understanding here is that we need to pray. David ends up there in Ziklag, and you turn around and you wonder, how in the world did I get here in my life? How in the world did all these things happen to me? How in the world is all these things going wrong? And we go back and we look, have we been praying? Have we been putting God in the equation? Have we been asking God and seeking God and searching for God? It's without prayer he makes his decision. He comes to this conclusion with his own heart. He says, look, there's nothing better for me. There's nothing else I can do. I must go, and I must go to the land of the Philistines. You might say, Pastor, you're being kind of hard on David. Remember, Saul is the king of a mighty nation, and there was at least on one occasion over 3,000 men that were chasing 600. It seems a little unfair, unequitable. Don't forget, to whom much is given, much is required. And God has preserved David over and over again with the lion, with the bear, with Goliath, with Saul. Many battles in and out. He has the blessing of God on his life, but he decides for himself, there's nothing better for me. I don't have any help. I don't have any hope. And he convinces himself. Why? Number one is because it was prayerlessness. Secondly, because he became to the wrong conclusion. The first reason why he's sitting in Ziklag that day, and the first reason why many of us are sitting in that spot in our lives, not where God wants us to, or overwhelmed with the things of this world, is because we forget to pray. Prayerlessness is something that will destroy our spiritual lives. Second thing is when you pray, when you don't pray, you come to the wrong conclusions. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, he came to this conclusion all by himself. He says, there's nothing better for me. I need to switch teams. I need to change jobs. I can't trust in it anymore. I must have. But he came to the wrong conclusions. If you're not praying, you know what's going to happen? You're going to come to the wrong conclusions. If you're not being spiritually minded and spiritually thoughtful and keeping God in the conversation and keeping God at the forefront of your thoughts and asking the Lord what he wants you to do, you might end up down there. I've ended up down there before. You know why I end up down there? I end up down there when I'm not praying and when I'm not seeking God. And when I'm not praying and I'm not seeking God, you know what happens? I come up with the wrong conclusion. When I come up with the right conclusions is when I've been praying, is when I've been seeking. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It's when I don't ask God for his advice, and you know what happens? I seek temporary relief. I seek for things that are going to make me feel good for a little while. They came to the wrong conclusion. The reason why it's the wrong conclusion is because God, back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, tells Samuel, he says, look, he's looking for the next king, looking to anoint the next king. And they have that famous verse, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. But in verses 12 and 13, inside that story, it says that God tells Samuel, rise up, anoint him, for he is the one. He anoints David. He tells David, you are going to be king of Israel. He came to the wrong conclusion because he wasn't praying and considering that God had made him a promise that he was going to be king someday. He forgot about the promises of God. He forgot about the things that God had planned for him. Instead, he thinks on his own and he says, there is nothing better for me. There is no hope. There is no way I can handle this anymore. Saul someday will kill me. But the problem with that is God had already told him, no, David, you're going to live. David, you're going to be on that throne. And if God has made you a promise and God has given you something that he plans on you doing, guess what? He can make it happen. It doesn't matter if there's 3,000 men chasing you or 10,000 men chasing you. If God says it can happen, God can make it happen. But he forgot that. Where did it start? It started by him not seeking God. And as he did not seek God, he came to the wrong conclusion. I hear people say this all the time. Pastor, I think I should do this. You fill in the blank. Have you prayed about it? I thought about it. And I'm not talking about a feigned praying of just saying, Lord, you know, and just saying some little prayer there and just then going and doing what you want. I'm talking about getting into the Word. I'm talking about seeking him and searching for him because he says you'll find him. I'm talking about seeking wisdom. And David here has no interest, and it's because of his lack of prayer life. He comes to the wrong conclusion. He's like, there's no hope for me. And then instead of doing God's will, he tries to take the easy way out. In his mind, the easy way out is, I'll just go over to the land of the Philistines. I'll just go sit over there. He looks for temporary relief. And the problem with that is, temporary relief will make you feel good for a little while. Temporary relief will get to the spot where the things seem to be going okay and things seem to be working pretty well. This must be God's will. If it's against God's word, it's never God's will. It was never God's will for David to go over to the land of the Philistines. I don't know how God was going to protect David from then on out, but God knew and God had a plan for him. God knew that he was going to be king. But instead, he ends up sitting in Ziklag and he's probably thinking in his mind, this does not look like a throne. This does not look like a place of God's blessing. What in the world? How did I get here? How in the world am I sitting here? I've lost my wife. I've lost my children. I've lost the companionship of my 600 followers. And now they're talking about stoning me. How in the world did I get there? It's because he didn't pray. When he didn't pray, he came to the wrong conclusion. And instead of doing things God's way, he did an easy way out. And now he's suffering for it. Are you there? I've been there before. And so how do you get there? It's a lack of spiritual life. It's a lack of praying. And when we begin to stop thinking like God thinks, we begin starting to think like the world thinks, and that's a mess. So that's the first part. How did he get there? Because we think of David, a man after God's own heart. Why? And once again, sometimes God allows things to happen. God allows a Goliath to come. God allows a bear or sheep. God allows some jealous man to chase after you through the wilderness. But he protects you through all that time. He's there by his own doing. And I think sometimes we got to look at our lives and go back and say, man, I don't feel God working in my heart. I don't feel God working in my lives. Only thing I ever want to do is argue and fight with my wife. I never want to read my Bible. I never want to pray. I never consider telling somebody about Jesus. I have all this anger. I have all this frustration. I'm overwhelmed because nothing seems to go right spiritually. How did I get here? I bet you if you went back and looked, there was a point in time somewhere where that prayer life became non-existent. And then when that prayer life became non-existent, it became the point that we came to wrong conclusions. Well, this must be okay, or I have no other choice. There's nothing better for me than do it this way. This is obvious. That's what David was saying. And David then sought the obvious, the temporary relief. But look where he ends up. That's where we end up in a life of unbelief. In a spot where we have no control. But what we have to come to the realization is we have no control whether we're there or whether we're on the throne. We have no control because God is the one in control, and he's the one that leads and guides your steps. And that's what we're talking about, these journeys. That's what we're talking about, all these different situations. How did they end up in a certain spot? How did they end up like Joseph on the throne, or Daniel in the lion's den, or those children of Israel in the wilderness? Did they listen to the Lord or not? Second thing, you say, okay, Pastor, I've been there. Maybe you say, even in your own heart and life right now, I'm there right now. How do I get out of there? Let's go back to chapter number 30. Chapter number 30, he gives you some different encouraging things, and I think it will help us. Chapter number 30, you see that the first thing he does, and I have it underlined in my Bible in verse number 6, you know, it says that David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. They weren't going to offer him any encouragement. They were grieved, they were upset, they were angry with him. They talked about stoning him. But look what it says in verse number 6. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I love the buts of the Bible. You know, but God commended his love toward us, and that why we were yet sinners. I mean, there's so many but God things in the Bible. And this is one of those buts that is such an encouragement. It's one of the most eloquent in all the Bible. David has hit rock bottom, but in his hour he turns to the Lord, who could help him with the way that no one else can help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This cannot be said of anything else or anyone else. Other people can fail. Other people don't know what to say. But there's one thing he does in this spot. He sits down and he encourages himself in God. How do you do that? How do you encourage? You grab your Bible, right? There's no Bible. He listens to, he pops in a song on YouTube. For you guys that don't know what that is, you get the cassette tape out and put in a cassette drive. And he listens to music. That encourages me. Does that encourage you? There ain't anybody singing there. He has friends that he can call up and say, I'm really low right now. Doesn't have that. The guys he has, they're wanting to kill him. He encourages himself in God. Now, I want to tell you, when you're sitting here, the best way you can encourage yourself in the Lord is through his word and music and godly friends, but to remember the things he's done for you. He would have remembered all the stories. He would have known Adam and Eve, you know, in the garden. He would have known about Noah. He would have known about Moses. He would have known about Abraham. He would have known about Joseph. He would have known about all those things. He would have known those things, and I'm sure that would encourage him. But I think what he would have done is he went in his life and he began to think, God help me against that lion. God help me against that bear. God help me against Goliath. He remembers the battles he won and how God was there, and he encourages himself in the Lord. He's sitting in this seat of despair. He's sitting in a spot and he's wondering, how in the world did I get here? And instead of looking for the easy way out, instead of forgetting God, he comes to his realization he has no other help but God, and nothing else is going to be his refuge, nothing else is going to be his strength. And it says he begins to encourage himself in God. He begins to encourage himself in the Lord. He begins to remember the fact that God protected him against Saul here, and God protected him against here. He remembers the day that God protected him against the spears being thrown at him. He remembered God helped him versus Goliath. God helped him as the leader and the general of the army. God, he encourages himself in God. And that's one thing we can do when we get to this spot where we wonder, how did we get here in this world? How my spiritual life is a wreck and how everything else seems like it's going wrong. My family doesn't love me. My family doesn't respect me. It begins when we stop praying and we come to the wrong conclusions. And it begins when we look for the temporary, easy things instead of doing things God's way. But you get out of that chair, you get out of that spot when you say, you know what? God is good. And we remember the things that God has done for us in the past. We remember how he has saved us. We remember how he has helped us. And remember there was days when we felt like we were never going to make it through, but we did make it through. There were days when we felt like we could not make it another step, but we made it that next step. And we encourage ourselves and we encourage ourselves. And if you want to get out of that chair, if you want to get out of that spot where you're in despair and discouragement, it begins with encouraging yourself in the Lord. And yes, you do it in his word, and yes, you do it with song, but you do it by remembering the things and how he's been there for you, how he's helped you, how he's never left you, and he's never forsaken you. The problem with Joseph, the thing that helped Joseph was he knew he was with him. The problem with the nation of Israel, they had forgot that God had parted the Red Seas. They had forgot about the 10 plagues. They had forgot about Mount Sinai. And because of that, they weren't willing to go into the promised land. So we come to this spot. How do you get to Ziklag? It's because of the fact you didn't pray. And when you don't pray, you come to the wrong conclusions. And when you come to the wrong conclusions, you seek temporary help. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's one way to get out. Next thing is die to self. And we're almost finished here. Die to self. He had to come to a moment in time when he realized it was not about him, not about what he desired and what his heart thought, when he said, there's nothing better for me. He come to the moment and said, you know what? I need to realize, what is God's plan for me? The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do you get out of that chair? How do you get out of that place of despair? How do you get out of the Ziklags of this world? First, you encourage yourself in the Lord. Secondly, you die to self. It's not about what I want. It's not about my desires. It's about me living this life through him and what he desires for me. Because disbelief and selfishness will get us to a spot where we end up in Ziklag. Last but not least, you ask the Lord what to do next. Look what it says here in verse number 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? In chapter 27, if he would have said that would begin the verses in chapter 27 and verse number 1, it says, and David inquired of the Lord where he should go next, we wouldn't have chapter number 30. We wouldn't have the burning of the city. We wouldn't have them losing their wives and their children. We wouldn't have the 600 people he was responsible for talking about stoning him. We wouldn't have to ask the question, how did I get here? Because of the fact that he asked God about it. I want to help us understand as we go through all these different people and look at these different things over these last 6 weeks, where am I at? Why am I here? What am I doing? We get to a place of despair sometimes when our spiritual life's not right, our physical life's not right, and we're overwhelmed and we're like, how in the world did I get here? Is it because we stopped praying? Is it because we stopped seeking God? Is it because of the fact that we tried taking the easy way out? You get out of there by encouraging yourself in the Lord. You get out of there by dying to self. You get out of there by saying, God, what is it that you want me to do next? You continue in verse number 8. You see the response of the story. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So that's huge. Go to verse number 18. We're not going to take time for the whole story. In verse number 18, and David removed all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. So God answers his prayer. God takes him from that place of Ziklag and that place of despair and discouragement and places him to a place of victory. The only person that can do that is God. And if you're in a spot in your life right now where you're there and you're wondering, how in the world did I get here? Life's a mess. Then encourage yourself in the Lord. Seek him and die to self and ask God, what is it you want me to do? As we started this series weeks ago, the challenge was examine where you're at. Consider where you're at spiritually. Consider your prayer life and your Bible reading, your witnessing, your family's life, the different things, even your church family's life, even your work life. Where are you at? And is God asking you that question like he asked Elijah that we talked about many weeks ago? What are you doing here? This isn't what I want you. That is not what God wanted for David. David had to learn that lesson on his own. One last thing, and we'll close. You know, there's, Bible speaks in Luke chapter 16 about a rich man who lifted up his eyes in torment. He ended up in a horrible place called hell. He probably didn't realize how he got there. I want to encourage you today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have never repented of your sins and asked Christ to save you from your sins, you're going to end up where that rich man was. You might even question, what am I doing here? But like that bud in the Bible, but God commended his love toward you, toward us, but toward you specifically. That while you were a sinner, Christ died for you and gave you a way so you do not have to spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. I'm not going to go over all the reasons and all the details, but I do want you to know and understand, if you leave here today without knowing Christ, there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And just like David didn't know how he ended up there until he encouraged himself in the Lord and he died to self and he came to the spot, he inquired of God, there's going to be a day and time when we all stand before him in a judgment of what we've done with him or have done with our knowledge of him and whether we believed and received or rejected him. And this morning when we have an invitation time, we'd love for you to come forward. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven and know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. That wasn't the main crux of the message, but if you're here this morning without Christ, you can be saved and on your way to heaven. We'd love to show you how to. But the main message was for us as believers, we really shouldn't be in that zigzag spot. We really shouldn't be in that spot of despair and discouragement, but many of us end up there. And how does it happen? It happens when we don't pray. It happens when we don't pray and we choose to do things the easy way and we come to those wrong conclusions and then we have to get out of it. There's somebody here today who says, look, I need to get out of that spot. There's been times in my life when I had to get out of that spot and say, I'm done. It's over with. And things, I know I have to turn to God. I know I have to put my faith and trust in him. And I know, how do I do that? I encourage myself in the Lord. I die to self. And I inquire of the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.